Hello, everyone. Oh, my drawer's open. Sorry about that. It drives me crazy. I am Coach MJ coming to you from the rainy, dreary South Carolina. Glad y'all are here today. This is Life and Weight Loss Coaching. You may have heard Corinne mentioned somewhere. She made a Facebook post. She is in Vegas celebrating her best friend Jane's husband's 50th birthday. So she is traveling back. I am going to let Coach Julie come up on the stage with me. She is going to be in the chat and in the Q&A with you today. So she is going to type in all caps. Montana, you know, I went to Montana with my accountability group, and now I'm in love with Montana. I saw somebody say hello from Montana. It's the most beautiful place on earth. My accountability group and I had such a great vacation in Montana. And I've been watching that show on some show about people buying homes in Montana. And now I think I might want to move to Montana. But there's that. I want to be where you are. A couple of announcements before we get started. I know all of y'all are excited about the Weight Loss Workshop 2024 Weight Loss Workshop. Our gift from Corinne. On the 30th of December, Julie, if you could post the save the date page in here for everyone, you can go ahead and add it to your calendar. It's a half day workshop. It is included in your membership. It is a gift. You don't have to pay for it. If you are an OBS woman, you are invited to come and join us. So, all you have to do is show up. We are actually doing something we've never done before, and it's very exciting. There is going to be a 12-week, like a guide or whatever, to lose weight for 12 weeks. So we're going to take you on a 12-week weight loss journey with the asset that we're creating for y'all for that December 30th workshop. Now, the public will be able to come. We will be inviting them. So what does that mean? You can share with your friends this weight loss 2024 work or weight loss kickstart workshop. Now, on Friday, check your email because we are going to have a way for you to share your referral code with your friends. So they can use your code. The workshop is $59. So when they use your code to sign up for the workshop, they will be paying $59 for the workshop. And their bonus is one free month of weight loss membership. So they will be a no BS woman for 30 days. And if you use your code to refer your friends, just like any other time somebody joins No BS using your referral code, you will get 30 free days of membership. What? It can be a win-win. So your friend gets the workshop and 30 days of No BS, and you get your 30 days. You can always use your referral code, though, y'all, if you have a friend that ever wants to sign up. You will always get 30 free days. 1 month of membership will be credited to your account. So, you know, if you use that referral code enough, you'll literally never pay for no BS weight loss again. So, check your emails at the end of this week. Also, we've teased it a little bit in the newsletter today. Some exciting news coming up at the end of this week. I cannot speak of it because y'all know I get excited and then I say too much and then I get my ass in trouble and I'm not doing that, but it's big, big. That's all I can say, big. And I can't talk about it. And don't ask because if I talk, then I get loose lips and then I say shit and y'all know how I am because I get so excited. Check your emails. If you did not get your newsletter today, I want you to email support. And make sure that your email settings are correct because you do not want to miss two extremely important emails. This week is big, huge. I can't even talk about it. Don't ask. I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it. Don't ask me. I was so excited about it last night. Y'all know my husband does not know anything I do at work. Like, he doesn't know. He just knows I work. And so I've been so excited. I told him, we went shopping last night, and I told him all about it all the way home from Charlotte. And he was so tuned out, but at least I got it out of my system. I did. I got it out of my system. I'm so excited. I can't talk about it though, but I'm excited. Okay. That's enough. All right. And I do have a quick story I want to share, because y'all think that coaches have all their shit together. Like, we know how to, you know, eat to enough, and like the angels sing when we get to enough and we just miraculously like stop and we don't have any mind drama. Does anybody on this call think that we have it figured out, that like, you know, we always know what enough is, we never overeat, all that stuff? So last night I had planned to eat leftovers at home, but we were shopping and it was crowded and we were starving and whatever. So we decided to go to this restaurant in Charlotte called Cowfish. Now, I love Cowfish. We probably only go every 3 or 4 years. So I was like, you know what? This is worth breaking my plan for. Made a conscious decision. Cowfish, because they have burgers and sushi, which is an odd combination, but it is amazing. So I go, and my husband and I actually split a dinner. We got one burger and one sushi roll, and we split it in half. And that burger, y'all, was amazing. And their bread, I usually don't even get bread on a burger. I got bread on the burger. So I had half of my burger, and my daughter was sitting beside me. And I said, I kept picking, and I knew I was at enough. I knew I was at enough. Then I was like, is it okay if I just go ahead and eat a little over? And I'm like, no, it's not. But then I took another bite. So I was a couple bites, actually. So I was over enough. And there was only like 2 or 3 bites left of that burger. And I was starting, mind drama comes. You're not going to come here for another 2 or 3 years. You know, this is your favorite place. You should go ahead and just finish off that burger. You don't know when you're going to have it again. All the mind drama. And I even at that point had resorted to a fork to cut a piece of meat off. I was like, if I just cut a little piece, can I have a little bit more? So I cut the little piece of meat, and then I took my fork and I put it in the meat. And then I was like, no, MJ, you're done. I said it out loud. Daughter was beside me. She said, did you just talk to yourself? I was like, well, yes, I did. Because I knew I was done. And nothing crazy happened. She was like, oh, okay. Like, they know I talk to myself sometimes. But it was so much drama, y'all, about this burger. And just, I was finally like, no, MJ, that's enough. And I just let it go. I just let it go. And I do have a trick for if you're out to eat and you keep eating, but the sushi was on my plate. So typically, if I know I'm at enough, I will either take my napkin, wipe it on the bottom of my shoe, and then stick it on top of the food, or I will just pour water on my plate. However, the sushi was there and I brought it home. So I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do either of those things, because then I couldn't bring my sushi home. So drama was in full effect last night. And we still have to talk to ourselves sometimes and say, no, I became the adult and the parent in the room with my little toddler brain pitching her a little fit. And I was like, no, you're done. All right. All right. You can raise your hand to get coaching. We're coaching on weight loss and any life coaching that you have. We're talking about diet rules this month inside of the No BS Weight Loss Program. If you've got diet rules that you want to unravel, now's a good time to raise your hand. I already have a couple people who have raised their hand, but this is my only request, because I want to get to everybody that wants to get coached. If you have been coached in the last 30 days by anyone, any of the No BS coaches, on a call, I want you to lower your hand, and then I will start from there, okay? If you have been coached in the last 30 days on a call, please lower your hand, and if not, we will get to coaching. All right, let's go. Let's go. Elena. All right, let's see. And I'm not feeling good today, y'all. I have a Kleenex, all the things. But I'm gonna get through. I'm gonna get through. All right. Where are you? Where are you? Oh, she disappeared. She disappeared. All right. Samaya, I think that's right. All right. All right. Hello.
Hi, MJ.
How's it going?
I am well. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
I wanted to first give you an update. You coached me a long time ago to talk more to myself about 3-4 months ago.
Yes, I remember yes. You were in a car, right?
Yes, I was in the car. Yes, yes, yep. Yes.
I thought I remembered that.
Yes, and I've let a lot of things go. It feels good. I've been able to eat too enough. I've lost weight too, like easily. I lost about, so usually my maintenance range is 128 to 132, 135. I'm at 128.8 in spite of having a cold and a cough, but because I've been tuning more into my body, eating enough, just stopping and, you know, so it's, and letting the judgment go, honestly. So that's, it was fantastic. You telling me to talk to myself really worked out. So thank you so much.
Yeah. And obviously I still do it because I did it last night.
Yes. Yes. I did it too. I did it yesterday because I think after 15 days of coughing and not eating the food that I really like, the rebel came back in. So yesterday I had these cashew toffees that Costco sells. I love them, but I was able to take them out in a portion. So I knew I was taking it in a bowl. And I refilled it twice and I stopped. Like I said, okay, this is it. We're not eating more than this. I'm going to feel full after a couple minutes. I know I have had enough. I know this is going to trigger my cough back again. So it's not good for me. So yeah. I was able to just calm down and I was able to just, you know, I overate, but I could stop at enough. Like I could still stop. I didn't binge or I didn't just keep going or feel out of control.
That was me. I overate, but then I was like, you can stop right now. You are going to stop right now. It's like,
yes, yes.
You might be over enough, but you can stop. Yeah, for sure.
Yes, 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 yes.
So what are we coaching on now?
So I have a recurring thing with friendships. I just want to get a little coached on that. I tend to put these limiting beliefs on myself that I don't have time for it because I work full time. I run a business. I have kids, their activities. My husband is also busy on Saturday, Sundays. He plays cricket, so he tends to get out of the house a lot more on Saturday, Sundays, right? And then I have this thing that I can't make friends. I don't hang out with friends. I would love to have a community around me of friends, of 3 or 4 friends. I don't imagine myself like being at 10 big families or something, right. But I would love to just go out once a week, once in 2 weeks, have a girls' night out, or just have a friend who... just hang out with people because I work from home as well. And I find that it gets very isolating over time.
Okay. What would it take to get a friend?
More effort from me. And I feel like I don't have time for that. That's the thought that comes up for me.
So do you have time?
I do have time.
Okay.
I do have time. But then it's what comes up is I have to make time around everybody's schedule, and that annoys the shit out of me. I feel my brain tells me I should just be able to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Right. Like I shouldn't have to consider my husband's schedule and my schedule and my work and my kids' activities and all of that, right? And
do you and have to consider them?
I do. I do.
Really?
I want to consider them. I don't have to.
Okay.
I want to.
Okay. Yes, yeah. Because you could literally just, I know you got a cricket game, sir, but I've got plans and I'm leaving. Good luck with the kids.
Right. I wouldn't do that because I know how much he loves it. He just loves it. But I've found that over the last 10 years, I've been in America for like 15 years. And I don't have friends. I mean, I have maybe one friend in California that would drop everything and come over here, one or two friends. But I just moved to Atlanta and I have been here for 1.5 years and I don't meet people. I just tend to stay home so much more. And I miss the, you know, I miss the
Yeah.
meetups, and I miss the dressing up, and I miss the camaraderie, and yeah.
So what do you need to do? Like, what change do you need to make to find a friend?
I have this thing that I can't get out of the house. I can't leave the kids and go. I mean, and my kids are so they're older, like they're 12 and 8. So it's not like I need a babysitter either. You know, I can just drop them, and it's stopping me on so many levels. I find that I found a group that actually meets for just recreation, you know, and she organizes events every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, the dress up, Halloween and stuff. And you have to pay to get in there, but it's still a good set of, and I find that I just tell myself, no, you can't do that. You don't have time for that. You can't spend that on yourself. You can't do that.
Why is it a problem that you tell yourself that?
Because I stopped myself from actually doing it. I went to one or two events and I had so much fun, and I just nipped it in the bud. I said, no, I can't, like, I
But
can't
is that true? Just because you think it.
So I have a lot of judgment around that. I can be very loud. I don't drink a ton, but I can be very loud and obnoxious without the drinking. So I tell people I don't need to drink to be loud and obnoxious. I can start having fun without the alcohol. And that seems to be a problem, because a lot of people tell me, oh, you need to drink to be a part of our group. You need to be drinking to be a part of my group. You know,
Do they
if you
say
go to
that
Vegas,
out loud?
Yeah. And then I tell them, you know, you need a sober one to take you to the room after you drink a whole night in Vegas, right? Like, I'll be the sober one.
Okay. If anybody says, I mean, do you want to be honest? Do you want to be friends with someone who, to your face, says, if you want to be a part of our group, you have to drink?
No, I don't want that kind of a group.
Did these people say that to you when you went?
Yes, she said, you'll have to start drinking if you want to be a part of our group. And I can be a teetotaler, like I can hold a drink and not finish it, and I can do all of that. But
what was the spirit in which she said that?
She was joking. She was joking.
Okay.
Yeah, she was joking. She was joking.
So
but
you're
then I
hanging,
find
you
yeah.
know, she was joking, and you're hanging on to it like it was a directive.
Because I am being told that I try too hard to make friends. And I honestly.
By who? When was that said, and who told you that?
By people close to my, close, very, very close to me. And I am the loud and the obnoxious one. I do speak things without thinking sometimes. I can be very honest, and I can be very to your face. Okay. I can be very blunt. But I'm also a person who's very caring and who will be there for you when you want to, you know, I'm a good friend. I do like to think I'm a good friend. But I'm struggling with this one aspect, because they all of these people seem to have cliques already going on, and I feel like I'm the one outsider who's trying to get in.
Well, you
You know
are.
How?
We're not going to argue with that. They've been friends for a long time.
Yes.
Right? I mean, of
right.
course. When you first join a group, I have a bunco group that's been together forever. So we just sort of, after COVID, some people fell off, and then other people wanted to join. And we've got a long history, and these new people are coming in, and they don't have all the inside jokes that we have.
Right.
They are the new people. Why is that a
Right.
problem?
Because then I don't get invited to these things. They may head out, they may do a white Christmas party by like a white Santa or something of a party.
Well, you just
or...
said they get together every 2 weeks and you're invited.
Yeah, but they don't.
Every...
Then, no, I'm not invited. Like I said, I told them on the face, hey, I would love to be a part of your group. But I have had no invites after Thanksgiving parties. Like, this is
Did
December.
you join the group, though?
They didn't invite me to the group anywhere. Yeah.
But you said there's a group that meets every 2 weeks and you have to pay to get in.
Yes.
Sort of a networking
yes.
thing. And you went
yes,
to one
of
them.
Yes.
And then you decided not to join.
Yes. I can definitely go back to her. She will bring me back with open arms.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is this the same group of people who, like, were having
no.
a white? Okay. We're
no,
talking about
they
two
are
different
different.
things.
Yeah, they're talking two different things. They're two different groups. The other group is wine. It's actually called Wine Knot.
Okay.
It's got a name. It's got wine in it. and you pay upfront to drinks for drinks and appetizers. And the host was very courteous. I told her I'm a vegetarian. So I find that all of these things add to my list of things. Like, I'm a vegetarian, I don't drink, you know. And people are meat eaters, they're alcohol, like they drink a lot of stuff. So I find like everybody has to make these accommodations for me. And then it gets kind of awkward and weird for me. The energy just gets
awkward.
So the
wine not group is different than the other group you went to.
Yes. Yes. The other group is different. They are family friends, or they are friends.
Okay.
Family friends. We met them here. They are childhood friends of my husband. The guy is a childhood friend of my husband.
Okay.
And
so
yeah.
Which group do you want to be a part of? The why not or the other group?
I think why not, because they're far more accepting of me, and just, you know, they're okay with me the way I are. When you pay, and I also feel when you pay for something, they make more accommodations, you know, like, okay.
So what would you need to do in order to join this group?
Make time in my schedule for them, because she has evening, she has evening schedules, and that can mess up with my work sometimes. I tend to work from 11 to 8, and she has these groups on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, something like that. And and my work, I'm an IT professional in the daytime, so it just depends. It's a wave kind of a deal. If I have projects now, I have projects now, you know. I mean, I can't get out of the house. I'm working 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
And if I have time, I have a bunch of time, you know. So, yeah, but I could definitely try to be a part of that group. And they have a lot of fun. They dress up for Halloween, and they dress up for Christmas, and they do White Santa. And I would love to be a part of that kind of a group where people have, you know, dress up. And yeah, I would really like that, because that is something is truly missing, is me just having fun for the sake of having fun, you know, like, making connections and not being a coach all the time. Because if I'm going to networking events, I'm a coach, then people think, oh, how are you complaining? So that also comes up a whole lot. As a coach, if I go to these events, they have this perspective that I'm a coach. So it's like, I can't be myself. I have to put the coach hat on. I can't complain. I can't talk about my having a hard time with my kid's schedule, or my child, my teenager, and me having a hard time. No, I have that.
No.
Like, yeah, that's the judgment. So this is the area that I'm working on now. The judgment is huge here. I'll be honest. But I do want to work through this, because I am 41 this year, 42 this year. At least by the time I'm 50, I want to have a group of friends that I can celebrate my life with. You know, like, celebrate my 50th birthday and have fun.
To be in this part of why not, do you need to go to every event?
No. But you need to go at least 3 or 4, at least in 2-3 months, so that you can keep the connections going.
Okay. Is that possible? Is that doable for you with your schedule?
Yeah, it could be. Yes, it is. She has a lot of things going on, so you can choose what you can be a part of. So, yeah.
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 So what do you want to do now?
I will go back and reach out to her and see what event she has in January, so I can be a part of and just commit to it and pay for it and show up. So, yeah.
Because you have to show up to make friends, right?
Yeah. Yes. And that's
I work from home too. So it's not, nobody knocks on my door and is like, MJ, let's be friends. You have to go. And then I think Vern was in email support at pmptribe.com. We have an amazing group of Georgia peaches.
Okay.
And they get together a lot.
Okay. That's nice.
Yeah. So there's two groups of friends right now. You ain't got no time. We got you in the wine knots. We're going to get you in the Georgia peaches. And now your social calendar is going to be full to the tippity top.
Yeah. That's the other stressful part of it, that I have not even attempted to this. That otherwise you get so busy here. If you get so
in the diaspora, here's the thing. No. I want to stop you
see
right
how,
there.
Yeah.
You get
my
so busy. Do you really get busy if you join two groups of friends?
No, you don't.
How do you stop? How do you avoid getting an overfull schedule?
By putting the things you want to do first in a calendar and then finding time for them.
Thank you, time management from a couple months ago. Yes. You may not make everything. You may make some things.
Yes. And also the good thing is she puts out a list of events So you can choose which part, which ones you want to really go to, right? Yeah. And you can see on your schedule, hey, it's a Saturday, am I available? That kind of a deal.
Yes. So is it as hard as you tell yourself it is?
It's not, but that's what it's, it is. I make too many excuses in advance. Yes, I do. And I don't give myself the permission to do this for some reason. I feel like I'll go out of control. I'll not prioritize my family, that kind of a deal. I do that to myself. I put brakes on it. Like this event was so good and I had such a good time. I just don't give myself that permission, I think.
What are you afraid of with this group?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know what I'm afraid of. Maybe getting too busy, maybe prioritizing them over me, maybe getting into these bitchy conversations about people and gossip, like, right? Like this is not happening, and then having a falling out with these people, and then the disappointment that comes with it. That's what I am really afraid
Okay.
of.
So you're not putting yourself out there because you already have this idea that you're loud and obnoxious.
Yes.
And if they reject you.
Yes. Yes, because I have found it hard all throughout my childhood to make friends. I do. I have. Okay. I have never had a group of people that a great of set of friends or anything of that sort. I have had friends, and the friends that I have, they still stick with me today. I am friends with two or three girls from school for like 20, 30 years now. So that's just fantastic. But I've been bullied in school. I was actually there was a girl who told other kids, you can't be friends with me if you want to be friends with her, and everybody chose her, right? So I have all of these things that people have constantly rejected me over the years from friendships, and it hits me hard, I guess, and I just don't want to feel that, and I am fighting that rejection. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not even going there, you know.
Okay. Yeah. How old were you when that happened?
8th grade, 13, 14, and it started all through to college. I mean, 12th till I was 16, and then engineering was another field when I was doing my undergrad. Again, no friends, absolutely no friends. Nobody would. It was like I was the isolated one. I had no friends except my boyfriend. You know, that's it. I had no friends. And I have no friends from undergrad, even today. I have no
That's
friends
okay.
from my bachelor's. I just don't. And all these people I meet, they're all friends from their undergrad years, from their graduate years, you know, all the people I meet, that's when they made all the connections. And I just don't have any of these things, you know.
Do you think, though, that closes them off from making friends an adult? Just because they've been friends for a long time doesn't mean they can't make new friends now.
No, it can. They can make friends, and people are looking to make friends. I won't lie. I have made one good friend here. She's a mother of my daughter's friend, and she just does call me out, and she does reach out to me and stuff like that. But I think I'm closing
I want
off
you
from
to
the
see,
fear of
though.
rejection.
Here's the thing. You get on this call and you're like, I would just like three or four really good friends that could do stuff and call and whatever. In the course of this call, you were like, I've been here a year and a half in Georgia, zero friend, made no friends. Later in the call, we found out you've got two or three very good friends that would travel across the country to get to your ass if you needed them. And now we find out that you have made a friend in Atlanta.
Yes, I have made a friend in Atlanta.
So the story that you have that you can't make friends and you don't have friends is not even true.
It's not, but I feel like I'm not the kind of person people want to be friends with or want to be.
Well, then how do you have friends?
I feel like they're putting up with me, honestly. They're just being nice.
They are being nice. They're your friend. What are they supposed to be, mean?
I know it's all contradicting. It's all contradicting.
Yes.
I know it.
It is
all contradicting.
But it's about being, like we coached last time, about getting on to yourself.
Yes.
And being honest with where you really are.
Yes.
And that worked out really well. Right?
Yes.
And it's like, you know, in your head that all of this story is not even true, but you just go into the spiral with it and hang out with it.
Right. I do.
You got to call yourself out. You have evidence that you can make friends. You have evidence that you can build long-term relationships with friends. You have evidence that people will travel to come and get to you if you need them. You have evidence that you moved to Atlanta a year and a half ago, and so far you've made one friend.
Yes.
That's where you spend your time.
Okay.
That's where you spend your time. Because that is actually the truth. And that is actually what's going on.
Okay.
But what else is also going on is you're not everybody's cup of tea.
Right.
And
right.
not everybody you meet is going to be a bestie.
Yes. And that's fine with me. But it's a judgment I get from my... So when we go to these events, family events, I get judged by a lot. Please, I'm going to talk a little bit about my spouse here, but I don't want to judge him I don't want him to come under the train here, okay? It's my perception of his judgment, okay? I'll be honest. It's my perception of this judgment, and I've been with him for so long, since engineering onwards. But I have always labeled myself as a person who gets along good with men. I like the jokes. I like a tomboy. I've always been a tomboy kind of a person when I was growing up. I was never a girly girl person, thing. It was never my cup of a deal. I didn't play with dolls a whole bunch. I like to play outside, play sports, play games, be outdoors. I'm an outdoorsy kind of a person.
Okay.
But I get a lot of judgment from my spouse. Because he says the way I behave, the way I am, the way I get really loud, and I can have very opinionated, and he says that's what stops people from inviting us to parties.
Okay,
and that's hard for me because when I meet people, I have a big heart. I do talk to people. You know, but then when I'm being constantly told that it is because of me and the way I've been brought up and my limiting beliefs about it, not eating meat, not serving meat at my house and all of that stuff, that it's hard for people to be friends with everybody. And it's because of me that we don't have a lot of friends. And I have internalized it.
Well, I mean, if that were true, because you're talking about we don't have meat at our house, then no vegetarian would have a friend ever.
Right. And it becomes a conflict because he's meat eating, I'm not, and he drinks a lot of alcohol and I don't. So his friends, it's hard for me to become friends with them because when we are hanging out, then it's just an awkward situation. I'm the one who's sober, who doesn't eat meat. So they think I can't party. Like, you know, that's the lens that they come
from. Can they be wrong?
They are wrong.
Show them they're wrong.
Yeah, they are wrong. Yeah. I know, and it's hard. It's and over the years it's gotten hard. You know, these evidences have piled up where we don't get a lot of invitations. We are excluded from invites. We are actively excluded from invites. Okay, I'll be very honest. It hurts the both of us. So it's kind of become a place where now we both of us don't try to make friends, family friends a whole lot because we feel like, hey, what's the point? We're going to be disappointed anyways. And I think we are both kind of sheltering from that disappointment and that judgment. I think, to be honest, that's what it is.
Okay. But if you don't put yourself out there, you're not going to give anybody the opportunity to get to know the kind, caring side of you.
Yes.
And not everybody might want to be your friend. And that's okay, too. It's like you're a coach. Do you have your own business?
I do, yes.
Yeah. You got to get a lot of no's to get a yes for a client.
Yes.
Because you're not everybody's cup of tea in coaching.
Yes.
And you're not going to be everybody's cup of tea with like friendship.
Yes. But coaching, I have come to a place where in the business, I mean, if somebody says a no, I can just deal with it because it's just business and I'm not their person. But with friendships, it feels a lot more personal and feels a lot more
But what
judgmental.
If you apply that same thing to friendship? I'm just not their person. If it works in coaching, it would work in real life. Like, in, I mean, not that coaching is not real life, but if that feels really good to you, I'm just not their person.
Yeah.
And if you don't put yourself out there, they're missing out on the amazingness. There's somebody out there that's looking for a friend who is caring
Absolutely.
and honest.
Absolutely. And holds the space because I'm a coach. They can call me and I can vent and I'll be like, okay,
people
you need
would
help
love
in
to have
this.
you for a friend. And by holding up in your house, those friendships, those people that need you to be their friend, you're denying them that.
And I'm fine. I'm withering away too. Like, I need the connection. I want the connection. You know, I want to have a Saturday night plan where somebody can come home and just hang with me and watch a movie, and you know, we can watch a Christmas movie and just chit chat and just gossip about some stuff that's on TV. You know how we pass. You're watching Gilmore Girls or something like that, and you're just wanting
to
hear.
But to
This
get
is
to
not
that
okay.
level, you've got to get yourself out there. That's your long-term play.
Yes.
The first step is. Get out there.
Okay.
And call yourself on the carpet. Girl, you got friends already.
Yes, I do have friends, yes. And I have lifelong friends. The friends I keep are lifelong friends. Friends whom I could drop something and just go there and be with them in California,
Okay.
or they would drop something and, or even to India, right? If I needed, my friend would fly out to America if I needed her from India. Like, that's the kind of friendships I have. And
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. And I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of her for being with me through thick and thin. And
Yeah.
she's like a sister to me. And
Yeah. All right. Well, put yourself out there.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time today. This
You're
has been
welcome.
on my heart for so long. I'm thankful
Oh,
for the time to just
yeah.
hear, for you to hear me out.
Oh, you're so welcome. And don't forget
Thank
email.
you.
Let's hook you up with the Georgia Peaches.
Okay. That'd be great. Thank you. Yeah.
All right.
I will email support. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. That is a really, there's a few really like tight groups inside of No BS. Yes, Karen says, don't confuse friends with acquaintances. That is very true because it sounds like she's got a lot of really good friends. All right, Sue, let's get after it. Sue, it's coming up. All right, Sue.
Am I on? Am I on?
You are on. You are on.
Hi.
Hey, Sue.
How are you, MJ?
I am fantastic.
And I want to address you as Coach MJ.
Oh, I answer to anything just about.
Well, I am the Sue on November 6th that you said, I have a challenge for you. That I said, it was, I eat carbs, I eat sugar, I eat salt, I eat fat. And you said to me, Sue, you think because you eat all of that, you can't lose weight. I want to challenge you, Sue, to go to Ask Coaches. And Coach Julie was on the call as well. And because you asked me what my data was. And I said, I didn't have data. Well, the truth is I had been collecting data. I just wasn't doing the analysis sheets.
Okay.
But this is, let me tell you my data that I have. On January 7th of 2020, I was 305. I just noticed on my page here that it says December 1st. I was of 2022, I was 288.8 and then dropped to 288.6. I joined No BS in December of 2023. So all through this time, I was caring about those numbers. When I joined OBS, I was 286. I had gone down to the Queen's Club on the 28th of January to 280.
That's January of this year?
January of 2023. I had put on, I had gone to Tony Robbins' Unleash the Power in March, March 16th. And I had gone through the workshop and I was working on my inner self and I had broke my board. I don't know if you can see it there at all.
Yeah, it's getting blurred. Just tell me what it says.
Okay.
Oh, you broke your board at Tony Robbins. I got you.
Broke my board.
He's big on that.
Belief that the weight loss is broke through. Okay. So it's I'm working with my identity. I'm working with my belief. My wrote my sign here. My identity is 25 pounds lighter for January. Okay.
So where are we now?
Okay. I started this month at 295.6.
Okay.
This morning I got on the scale, 288.4.
Oh. Well, how'd you get there?
I did exactly what NoBS told me to do. I followed my four basics. I did my doable plans, and I didn't do them ahead of time. I did them a meal at a time where I was self-accountable for what I was eating. I ate when I was hungry, stopped at enough. I drank my water. I got my sleep, and I was totally involved in Ask Coaches. I was totally involved in watching the programs, doing my journaling, doing what I had gotten this past week. I want to say this has been a very spiritual thing for me because the connection, I wrote it, my stories and asked coaches to Coach Lizzie. Reading her book, you know, because where I, this is the big one right here. In this, I've gone through years and years of major depression. I'm off my medicines and everything. But in this last year, no BS, I have found self-love. And I had a disconnect between my mind, my body, and my spirit. And in this last week, things have come together where the switch has flipped in my mind. And I feel like Clark Griswold with the household lit up when Ellen flipped the switch.
Okay.
And I don't have that. I'm not the same person I was before, where I had all these hunger drives and compulsions and all this kind of stuff.
Good.
I feel like a normal eater. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is just simply amazing. And those are my new words, simply amazing, because it's an awestruck thing.
Well, do you have a coaching question for me?
Okay.
Like, what do you want to work on now that the scale is moving?
All right. And this is what I ask anybody that I'm buying anything from. What should I ask you that I don't know to ask? What would be your advice at this point to tell me how to follow through?
Keep doing what you're doing. It's working.
It's working.
It's working. And then here's what we know. All, and this is for everybody, like all the way down the scale, You will have to, like, you're dialed into your, you know, am I hungry? Have I had enough? And then we start to get complacent with it. Cause I did this all the way down the scale. So you'll get to a point where you're like, I know this much just about gets me to enough. And you start to serve yourself that much.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't necessarily, a lot of people, not everybody, but doesn't really pay attention to the cues anymore. And then you'll see the scale kind of level off. And the first thing you want to do is like start to really question, am I eating more than I need? Okay. And then you just dial back into doable hunger and use Ask Coaches and let us help you.
Okay. Okay. You know,
but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, you doing good.
Thank you.
So we don't want to, you know, like upset it. You're doing everything correctly. And I can't anticipate what obstacles will come your way. I cannot anticipate what's going to get you stuck. I cannot anticipate what is coming down the road for you.
Right.
But what I do know is, no matter what that is, we are here to help you. I know that. And I know that we can help you figure it out. I know that too.
I made the sign. The sign says, I am figuring out. It's posted like right in my visual, you know?
Yes.
Somebody was talking yesterday about victory. And because that's what I feel like. I'm sitting in victory, and I wrote, victory is sweet. The sweetest thing I've ever tasted. My body feels cleaner. I feel like I am just an entirely different person. And here's a kicker. Yesterday, I went to McDonald's for my husband to go pick up his food, his purchase. I didn't purchase. And I went to go pay. And the guy said, the lady in front of you paid for you.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Here's my receipt. I know. I was like, thank you, God.
Well, you are doing amazing, and just keep doing it. And then you have a direct line to the coaches and Ask Coaches.
Thank you. Oh, and one more thing. On Thursday, the doctor's office called me and said, we want to do a baseline on you. We aren't going to see you till March. So I had been in there not too long ago. So already I'm off my antidepressants. I'm off my other medicine, and my blood pressure has gone down and my weight is dropping.
Yes.
This is the best program ever, ever.
Well, thank you, Sue. And we're right here for whatever you need.
God bless y'all.
All thank right. You. Well, you have a good, happy holidays, whatever you celebrate.
Christmas, and thank you very much, and same to you.
All righty. Bye-bye. And I want y'all the biggest takeaway from Sue, because so many people think you have to lose a ton of weight to come off of like high blood pressure meds, and it's not true for everybody, but you know, she started way back in 2020. I wrote it down at 305, and now she is at 288.4, not a ton of weight loss that she started way back in the way back day. But she's already been able to come off of her blood pressure meds. It does not take as much as you think it does. So every pound helps. Every pound counts towards getting you healthy and, you know, getting that scale moving and all that kind of stuff. I love that. I love it. All right. Hannon. Let's see. It could be Hanan. We'll find out in a minute. We're about to find out. We'll get the gift of finding out here in just a second. Let's see. I clicked on you and then it didn't work. Why? Is Zoom being crazy? Oh, it's coming. Here we go. I'm going to ask you to unmute. Oh, you already did it. Thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How do I say your name?
Hanan.
Hanan, where's that name from?
It's actually Arabic, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been quite a while since I've been coached. So I would say maybe I got coached live like 3 years ago or 2 years
well,
ago
you're
at
due.
One of the camps. I'm due for sure. So thank you for picking on me. I really appreciate it. I would love to get coached today about some feelings of shame. lots of feelings of shame, which I've been working on my weight loss for a long time. And you know, I've been in the program. I've done Katrina Yubel program as well. And, you know, I really do constantly think about it, work at it. I'm not 100%, 80%, 50%. I mean, I kind of just come and go kind of person with my weight loss. When life gets super stressful, it just like goes to the wayside. And recently I was diagnosed with something. So I have just had like chronic fatigue for like, I would say the past couple of years. I had COVID really, really bad. I was, you know, very, very, very sick the first round of COVID. I'm a physician. I have four daughters. And so I got sick right in the beginning when COVID happened. And then I was isolated for like 6 to 8 weeks from my four daughters who were all school age. And then they all started virtual school for 18 months. I have my own practice as well. So I have 50 employees. And so, so like over time, I got COVID like three more times. So I've had it a total of four times. And after each time I get it, I feel like it's probably the fatigue is from COVID. And I see that the woe me starts kicking in again. And I'm just kind of in survival mode and just very, very exhausted and just like exhausted. I still function. I do what I need to do, but I'm just like, I wake up, I think of my next nap, I whatever. In the meantime, it's just been really hard to lose weight. Like I really work at it. And I'm really proud of the work that I've put in, because I could have gained probably 100 pounds sincerely with everything that's going on. So I try to really celebrate those wins as much as I can, given the immense stress and, you know, everything that goes on in daily life. And so I try to really celebrate those. I do have a lot of shame in when I restart and really get committed again. But I'm able to deal with those thoughts and feelings and realize that they are just, you know, part of the process for me. And then recently I've just really had like much more severe fatigue. And again, still functioning, highly functioning, but just very foggy, very just irritable, miserable, just waiting to fall asleep. And I started like snoring more and more, and my daughters noticed, my husband noticed. And finally, like, it was my birthday. I was with my twin sister and we were in a hotel together, like watching after we went to a concert, and she had to leave in the middle of the night to get a different hotel room because I was snoring and choking so much. And I don't know why I waited this long for it, especially being a physician. I feel like it's like we're the last people to take care of ourselves. But long story short, I got worked up for sleep apnea, which is when you have choking and you can't breathe in the middle of the night. And I got my results back about like a week ago. And he said that it was like the most severe sleep apnea that he's seen in 25 years. He said that I stopped breathing 846 times, and and that I had a whole full total of like 6 minutes and 32 seconds of restful sleep in 8 hours.
Well, then there's your problem solved right there, you know?
Like, yeah, yes, it's a great to know that. And I think that seems very obvious, but for me, I got my CPAP machine, and I'm really having a hard time. Like, I'm very grateful that I know, you know, the next day he's like, don't drive, don't do this. I'm like, I've been functioning like this for 3 years, you know, like, of course I'm still going to. I got my machine, and I think, like, of course it's been life changing. I just started it like 4 nights ago, super committed, you know, wearing it. And even though it's hard to get adjusted to, and the doctor said it takes a couple months, but I was very committed. And I do feel a lot better, and I feel like I should have such immense gratitude. But I'm really struggling that I'm having a pity party, which is very not like me. I'm trying to have compassion for myself that I really struggled these past couple of years. It seems like hard things were just much, much, much harder. And I also kind of feel like a freak now because like I wear this mask that's like a big mask, and Yeah, I'm like having some issues about that, which my husband and my kids and everyone are like thrilled and excited for me. And even last night, they like did this like I told them it feels like I'm a spaceship. And like, I told my youngest, my girls are like from age 6 to 16. And last night they made like a spaceship themed sleepover in my room. And they all like put fake masks on and acted like they were from outer space. So they're very like very supportive of it. But I feel like I let myself down by not getting, so these are my thoughts. Like I let myself down by not getting checked out sooner. I'm grateful it's not cancer and all of those things. Like,
Right.
of course, but it's all relative to how I'm feeling. So I need to still have
Okay.
that compassion for myself. And the doctor was like, it's virtually impossible for you to have lost a significant amount of weight when you are.
Yeah.
So he checked my cortisol levels, like those levels, and he's like, by default, there's no doubt you'll start losing weight. I mean, I work out daily. I, 5 a.m. I'm at the gym. I do my water. I mean,
Right.
it's just my habits. And so just like, yeah, I didn't expect to feel like I'm grieving something. And I feel like shame that I'm not like celebrating, but I am like celebrating this newfound exciting thing that's like modern medicine is helping me. I used
Okay.
to like have a lot of shame of my snoring because it would bother people and I just associate it with me being overweight. So I feel like there's some validity to like it's not
Right.
just me being like grotesquely whatever, those bad thoughts that I have. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I would love some
Okay.
help with that
Okay.
so that I can move
Yeah.
forward,
So as a physician, you had COVID four times. Once you said at least once was very
Yeah,
severe.
hospitalized and yeah,
Okay.
ICU, all of that.
Okay. So when you got over that, based on what you knew about COVID and how many times you had had it, and your fatigue as a physician, if someone had come into your office, what would have been your first thought about their diagnosis?
Yeah, post-COVID fatigue and post-COVID crap, yeah.
Okay. And then time went on, and people started talking about your snoring.
Yeah.
And then your sister said something about your snoring. And you said, huh, as a physician, maybe it could be something else.
Yeah, it took 3 years to get there, though. I think that's the problem. Like I've been having red flags and people telling me I snore for like the past 2.5 years, I would
But what would have
say.
been, but what would have been the most likely diagnosis based on your fatigue and your history with COVID?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think it was COVID, and I think it was just like the stressors of just, being a full-time working mom, 4 kids, own
Yeah.
practice, busy life. Like I always thought like naturally you're fatigued. Like naturally all you
Yeah.
could think about is your next nap, like naturally, I also had like really bad panic episodes in the morning, which I got coached on tremendously these past 2 years. And was worked up for it, started on anti-anxiety, like all of those things. I like wake up panic stricken, and that would prevent me from wanting to take a nap because I would wake up panic stricken. And it turns out that like once I started the CPAP machine, it just went away completely. It was that I was
Yeah.
choking and feeling like I was drowning,
That's
and
what
my
was
heart.
waking you up. Yes, for sure. So
Yeah.
let's talk about the shame, though, that you're
Yeah.
feeling because it took you so long. Right. So we already decided that it would have, if anybody came into your office with the same symptoms, same history, you would have gone immediately to what you diagnosed yourself with. Right.
Yeah. And my doctors. Yeah. Like I was under the care of doctors for the entire
Oh,
time as
you were
well.
under the care of doctors who didn't even see it.
Yeah. And I'd like to clarify too, like I know I use the same the word shame. I think it's probably less shame as I'm talking it through and more like immense sadness, like having compassion and like feeling sorry, like not in a negative way, but just like kind of grieving the past 3 years of like how much harder, like when I say it was so much harder, like it was so much harder. Like, and I know that people have it hard. I just, for me, it was really hard to wake up panic stricken like that every day and do everything I could to lose weight and not really budge much, and also just feeling so tired and defeated every day, like which also made me get sick more often. I'm a pediatrician, so I get sick all the time. So I got a full workup for my immune system, like everything. And I just kind of have like, just, I don't like to say the word I feel sorry for Hanan, but I think I just have empathy for myself. And I feel like I've just been grieving that for the past week. Like, and I can't, it's, I'm just
Anon,
finding it hard.
why is that normal? Why would you feel anything else? Now, here's the thing. I talk about this all the time. You're holding two emotions, which you can do. You are grateful for the diagnosis. You are grateful that there was an answer. You are grateful for the CPAP machine. You are grateful that your family is embracing it and not like giving you shit about it, like all the things. And you're so excited for that. And you're so excited about the new sleep that you're getting and how much better you're already feeling. And you're also sad for that version of you that lived for 3 years and just didn't know. You can be both. There's
Yeah, you're
nothing wrong with that. You get to be sad for her. You saw how hard she struggled. And you have empathy for her. You just said it. Of course you do. And that is normal. That version of you was running on fumes and she had no idea how to help herself. And you were
Yeah.
just doing the best that you could to get through the day. And she had a hard life for 3 years. So yeah, you're going to be sad for her.
Yeah, like just now when the lovely lady was talking about friends, like I haven't had the energy to keep up with friends,
Yeah.
you know, like, and everyone's always like, you're just so tired, and you're like, I say no to everything, say no, just do what I need to do, and
Yeah.
like it, there's a lot
But
that
you
I've
kept,
said no to.
yeah, because it was what was best for you in the moment. You were
I like
reserving
that
your
thought, yeah.
energy. You were reserving your energy that was in very short supply for your patients and your practice and your employees and your family. And you cut out what was non-vital in the moment. That was you taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I love how you put that. That really like hits deeply. So thank you. I feel like that's exactly what I did, you know. And there's a version of me, I think, that's proud that I made it this far, you know.
Yes.
Every bit goes into just like survival mode. And I look back and I'm like, how did I do that? You know, like
Yeah.
when he Like when I was in residency, we would work 36-hour shifts. And so, very used to doing that previously. I mean, that was when I was younger. But I would always tell my husband, like, I feel like I'm post-call. Like, I feel like I just did a 36-hour shift, but like, I wake up and I'm doing it again. And, you know, I just, yeah, I like that. Thank you, first of all. Thank you for picking me because I didn't know what to do with all these feelings. I really
Yeah.
didn't. And I also felt guilty for not being super grateful. But when you put it in that perspective of being able to have both feelings, like two competing feelings at the same time, it just feels a little bit better. It feels a lot better, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I owe everyone an apology for some reason. Like I have so many people that not needed me, but wanted to be a part of our lives or our family lives. And I look back and I'm like, my God, I would fall asleep on the couch. I would fall asleep, you know, any minute I could, like waiting for the girls to pick them up. I'd fall asleep in the carpool line. So I want to offer that, like, you know, like the lady, I'm sorry, I forgot her name, but like, that there's always another side to the story. Sometimes people are just in a different space, and it doesn't mean that it means anything negative about the person reaching out. Like, I have so many friends that were so hurt because they couldn't like hang out with me, and I've lost friends because of it, because they thought I was just a big shot who, you know, didn't think they were worthy enough to hang out with me or whatever. And I just, want to offer that, like, everybody has a story, and everybody,
yeah,
it's not always about, it's not always what it seems, you know?
It's not always about you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think moving forward, like, I'd like to reach out to people who I haven't been there for. Like, I'm there if they need me, but and just, you know, maybe not look for like sympathy, but just apologize and acknowledge that I wasn't able to show up the way that I wanted to. And I'd like to rekindle that, because, like, honestly, I've never felt like I slept last night. I felt like I slept for 6 years. Like, I was like, what the heck is this? You know?
Yeah. A lot of people who get on, you know, I know you're a pediatrician, but so many people are like, after night one, I got my life back. Like, they feel like a totally different person. And so be sad for that version of you that worked so hard for 3 years, just trying to keep her shit together and keep her family afloat and her business afloat.
Yeah.
And love on her. She had it hard.
Yeah. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much. You guys do incredible things and you change people's lives. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this. And I really recommitted, like, these past 3 days. I'm like, oh my God, like, maybe I could lose my weight finally. Like, maybe
I want to talk to you. You are such a good, so many people discount how important sleep is, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't get enough sleep, it will jack up your cortisol. It will increase your urges for sugary sweets and carbs to get that quick boost of energy. So it makes it a lot more difficult to manage urges. So it's not just, and you were in like survival mode of trying to get enough energy to make it through the day. So you probably were doing some of that as well, just to get that boost of energy to get through to your next patient and to, you know, pick up your kids from school and all of that other kind of stuff. And it's not because you don't have willpower. It's not because you couldn't follow your plan. It's not because of any of that. It was because your body literally was like, we're about to collapse. You're going to have to give me something. And those urges are so strong because it's your body trying to just hang on. And so now with the sleep, a lot of that is going to decrease, which is so amazing for you. And it will make it a lot easier. But you are like the poster child of sleep is like the unsung hero of, sleep and water.
Yeah.
You get those two things on lock, weight loss gets a lot easier. And so it's very true. So I'm glad that you are such a good example of someone who knows how to do the things, you're willing to do the things, but you just could not because of your lack of sleep. And now you have the answer.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I was, you know, rewatching the modules this morning on sleep and, with my husband I airplayed it, and, you know, my doctor, you know, had sent me some literature and also told me, like, while I was getting my work up, I said, you know, I think it's my being overweight. So, you know, my doctor's been wanting to put me on Ozempic. Another doctor was like, do weight loss surgery, like all these things, because they really couldn't figure out why I wasn't losing weight with what I was doing, you know, like with what I was doing. And so it is really a testament to like what sleep. I mean, I've lost 5 pounds in the past 3 days. I just can't believe it. Like I didn't even like rejoice that, because I was like, of course, like, you know, and I would like to also urge anyone listening is that like, take it seriously, like think about it, because it's so common to have obstructive sleep apnea. And I think a lot of times as women, we kind of, or doctors overlook that, you know, and especially if we're overweight, then they just like assume, well, I'm overweight and I'm snoring. And so, you know, I think it's really important. If I didn't see it and it was obvious that I was choking in the middle of the night and my husband's a physician and it didn't cross his mind, I think it's like very important for
and
people
that's the
to
other
see
thing
that.
Too, I think you said that so good. This has become an educational call as well. A lot of our members will say, I'm not going to go have that sleep apnea. I know I'm snoring and I should probably get checked, but once I lose this weight, it's going to go away anyway. Not realizing that if they would just go have it checked and got a CPAP, weight loss would become easier. It doesn't have to be a lifelong solution for some folks. Some folks do end up getting off of their CPAP machine, but That's the other thing, like delaying it for if I lose weight, but not realizing delaying it is making weight loss even harder. So just kudos to you for raising your hand. And I think a lot of people on the call, like this is really, really good for our members to hear who are like, you know, I'm doing it, you know, I'm doing all the things, but like, you know, sleep, at least I'm stopping at enough. Like it's really important. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I feel so much better.
Thank you.
It's great to see you. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
All right. Happy holidays. Have merry everything to everyone.
Merry everything. All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Thanks. Bye.
And what we were talking about, y'all, for Hanan and that holding both, especially if you're coming up to holidays. I know the Hanukkah, I think, just finished. But we've got Christmas and New Year's and different things coming up. It is so important for us to remember this. You know, Kathy's done a grief call, and I'm not going to get into the thing too much, but I'm going to miss my Saturday night, whatever night New Year's Eve is. My whole family comes over and we all bring crock pots of our favorite soups. And then we share a meal and whatever. And my grandmother is gone, and she's been gone for 6 years, right? She's been gone for a minute. And on that night, every night, I look around at my family and I'm so grateful that they're here and we have such a good time. We enjoy each other and so much fun. But the whole night I'm sad too. I'm joyous and grateful, and I'm sad because I wish my grandmother was there. I miss her. And I hold both of those the whole time. And I do really through all of the, her birthday is in 2 days, and I'll take flowers to her grave and I'll stand there and talk to her and love her from her grave. But I also have such joy that she was in my life. Like you, we do that all the time, y'all. And especially like this week for me is really, really hard because I would give anything to still have her here. But I also, my daughter, it's her first married Christmas, Merry Christmas. And they're coming and all of that kind of stuff is so joyous and it's so amazing. So for all of you who are missing someone, but you also, you're like, I don't know, like, I'm like, you can hold both. They can occupy the same space with you and you can be excited and joyous and sad and grieving. That is normal. Don't think just because you miss somebody or you're sad because you miss them that you can't also be happy, because we do it all the time. We do it all the time. So there's that. Yes, there is that. All right, Cindy, you're up. Cindy. All right. Cindy, you need to turn on your video.
Uh-oh,
Cindy.
I'm not sure how to do that.
You may have to update. Baby.
There we go.
Figured it out. Yay. Yay. All right. What are we coaching on?
Okay. I joined last year. It's been a year, lacking a few days. And it's been a very stressful year. It's been a rough year, but it's also been a good year. And I have not lost any weight. The last couple of months I've lost total motivation. And I know we say you don't need to be motivated, but I need something.
Well, let's start. Why haven't you lost weight, Cindy?
Because I haven't been doing the program like I should. It's not the program, it's me.
Girl, no, you know what? It's on us because we need to help you. So what can we do to help you?
I don't know.
What does it mean to be committed and to do the things? I haven't fully committed. It's me, whatever. Like, what do you even need to do to lose weight?
Okay. I was, for the most of the year, up to the last month, I've been making my daily plan and I've been doing that faithfully. And for the most part, I've been doing the analyzation of it. You know, what did I do right? What did I do wrong?
Oh Lord, what? Oh, stop. Oh, that made my ears hurt. What did I do wrong?
Oh, well, you know, did I stay
Girl.
on plan? You know, I've been doing that. And then I do drink my water. That's the one
Okay,
thing I'm good at.
water and planning are on block.
Yeah. Well, the planning fell off, so I need to get back on it. The water's on lock. The sleep is pretty much on lock. I can
Okay.
easily get that
We
back
all
to
have
life.
nights, right? Like we all have
Yeah.
nights. Yeah.
But I need to start doing my plan again faithfully. I need to only eat when I'm hungry and stop when I'm satisfied. And it all sounds so easy when you say it. And for some reason, it's not.
No, you're exactly right. It's not. And you heard me at the beginning. I still struggled with it last night. Still happens. All right. So, which side of doable hunger is easier, do you think, for you?
Starting when I mean doable hunger, wait till I'm hungry. That's
Wait till I'm hungry. Okay.
stopping at
So,
enough is hard, but the kicker is at night, I like something sweet, whether I'm hungry or not.
okay. But here's the thing. You did not lose weight because you had a little piece of chocolate at the end of the night every night when you weren't really hungry.
Right.
That's not why you didn't lose weight.
Right. I agree.
You know? I mean, if you eat a Dove dark chocolate every night because you just want a little taste of something sweet, but you follow doable hunger the rest of the time, you're still gonna lose weight. Don't tell my boss. I said that. I'm not encouraging you to eat when you're not hungry, but I'm just saying that's not why we hadn't lost weight.
I agree.
So what
It
happens
just
when you eat that thing at night? And what
I
are you eating
can't
at night?
anything sweet. It can be brownies, it can be cookies, it can be Jolly Ranchers. And it just once I start, I mean, it is so hard to stop.
Okay. How could you make it easier
And
for yourself
probably
to
not
stop?
eat. Just don't do it. Don't go there. Which then I think, well, am I going to be able to sustain this for the rest of my life?
If
And I
you
come.
want to include it, how could you make it easier on yourself?
I don't know.
Oh, I got some ideas. You want me to tell you to tell them to you?
Yes.
I would love to. Thank you for asking. Only buy one thing at a time. If you want brownies, go buy a brownie. If you want to make a pan of brownies, cut them up, wrap them up individual, put all of them in the freezer and pull one out every day.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Yeah, make it easy on yourself. If you know you want all the sweet things, make it easy for yourself. Set your environment up for success. Because it's like, I go ham on all the sweet things every night. So what will I do? I'll just leave them all in my house. I'll make it really hard on myself. Now, if you're in a place where you can do that, do you have like a spouse or?
Oh, I've got a spouse and he likes sweets too. But I think if I take that pan of brownies and I cut them up and then I wrap them up, I think that might be enough.
Yeah, pull out two every night, one for you and one for him. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Make it easy. And it's not, listen, you got to watch how you tell the story, Cindy. I say this all the time. There's two ways to tell this story. One way is, it's so hard. If I have brownies, I just can't control myself. I'm going to have to put limits around myself. And like, it sounds like you're a slave to the darn brownies, like that they have all the control over you. But that's not how you're going to tell the story. The story is, I want to still be a person who includes snacks on my plan, something sweet at night, and I'm going to make it as easy as possible on myself because I want to win. I want to succeed and I want to lose weight and I want to learn how to eat one brownie every night. Done.
That sounds like a good idea. I mean, and I do have an accountability group, which is wonderful. And one of the women in it, she's really good at correcting me when I don't say things proper. I mean, she'll say, you need to spin it a different way, Cindy.
Yes, that sounds like a good accountability partner.
She is. She's wonderful.
So we've got that piece nailed down. So what if you went all in on Am I Hungry for the next 30 days?
I think I can do that.
On a scale of 1 to 4, how certain are you that you could do it?
1's low, 4's high, right?
Yeah.
I'm at a 3.
That's perfect. Okay. When I say waiting for hunger for the next month, what percentage comes up in your head? Like, what percentage do you have to wait for hunger in order to call it a successful experiment?
80%.
40.
Okay. That's doable. 80 is a stretch, but that feels like...
Yeah, because you're not doing it at all.
Right.
John, if anybody just caught on, that was the John Acuff. Says cut a goal in half. Yes. What would it look like if for the next 30 days, you portion out your evening sweet because you still want to include it. So you want to set your environment up for success. And you went from 0% of waiting for hunger, pretty much, to 40%. What do you think would happen?
I would lose weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can't even tell you exactly what's happened in the last month. It just kind of...
Yeah. I mean, how often are you following
feel like
your plan?
I gave up.
How often are you following your plan?
Oh, well, since I haven't been making a plan for a month.
No. But prior to that, why haven't you been? I mean, how often were you breaking your plan or going off your plan?
Probably 50% of the time.
Yeah. And we already established when you hurt my ears at the beginning of this call, I've been writing my plans and then looking back to see what I did right and see what I did wrong. So 50% of the time you're doing wrong, why do you think you would quit writing a plan?
Okay.
Yeah, of course you would. Hell, I would too. If I thought I was wrong 50% of the time, I wouldn't want to do that either. You got to sit down every day at the end of the day and look at yourself and be like, wrong again, fucked up again, never going to get this. Yeah. Instead of saying to yourself, like putting on that lab coat and saying, okay, is there a pattern? Do I keep breaking my plan on the same thing? Maybe I should plan it. Why do I keep going off plan? Is it really doable? Is something I can really follow? Is there something I keep choosing instead? Can I just plan it?
Well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to make my plan for today, even though I'm a little late.
It don't matter. You even gave it a caveat. Just now. No wonder you've lost motivation. Here's the thing. You finally are going to collect a win.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home and make my plan for today, even though I'm a little late. instead of saying, you know what? I'm getting back on, girl. I'm getting back on. I'm in it to win it. Going home, portion out them snacks, write my damn plan.
And that is what I'm going to do.
But don't give it the caveat.
No.
You're a person who plans even if it's not first thing in the morning. You plan the minute you remember it.
Okay.
You can do this. You can.
And you know, I know if I apply myself, I can do it, but for some reason, I just.
But what does apply myself? What does apply myself mean?
It means give it my all. And I know my all varies from day to day, but.
Oh, Cindy, I love that you said that because when I was, you know, I don't take private clients anymore, but when I used to take private clients and people used to like be down on themselves, my one, I'm sick today. I am not feeling good. Today, I am not, I mean, my 100% looks way different than it looks sometimes. Sometimes my 100% is a 3-mile walk with the dog. It is like all the things, like a journaling session that would rival Corinne and all that kind of stuff. Today ain't that day. But I'm going to give it 100%.
Yeah.
My 100% today.
I learned it from you. So I've heard you coach that before. And
it is true though. But I love that you know that.
Yeah, it is. It's very true. So.
I love that you know that. You got a piece of paper in your car?
No, but I can take.
This is what I want you to do. I don't even want you to wait till you get home, Cindy. I want you to type your plan for today.
Okay.
I want you to type your, as soon as we get off this call, I want you to sit there and type your plan into your notes app on your phone.
Okay. I can do that. And I will do that.
Yeah. And use, where am I going to tell you to go, Cindy?
What do you mean?
Ask coaches.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Use us. God bless. And now you can even, have you been over there since we redid it?
I don't think so.
Girl, it's amazing. So you okay, write in, you write in and you get to keep up with your questions. And now you, when you leave your question, it's like pending. And then when a coach answers it, you can even reply right to that coach and y'all can have and back like written coaching conversation.
Oh, okay.
Girl, it's amazing.
Okay, I will check that out because that was kind of, that sounds great because I always did think, well, if you had a question, you had to start all back over again. So you guys have totally fixed that. So that's wonderful.
We have totally fixed, just wait till the end of this week, Cindy. But I can't talk about it. Don't ask me.
Okay.
But I can't talk about it. Don't ask. I cannot tell. It's huge. But don't quote me.
Are you sure you don't want to tell us?
I don't want to tell y'all at all. You can't tell that it's just right here in my throat. Check your emails. All right. Get after it and use Ask Coaches.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All righty. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Loved that. All right. I know we're up to the 12:30 mark and it does say 12:30 on my calendar. 11:30 Central. I'm Eastern. Yo. But I will take, I'm trying to get Cindy to come down and she's still with us. iPhone. I don't know who this is, but she is on her iPhone. Later at the end of the week, Heidi. Yeah, I am not feeling good. You can tell I sound like I have a frog in my throat. Mm-hmm. All right, iPhone, let's ask to unmute. Ask to start video. Hello, who is this?
This is Vicky.
Hey, Vicky. Can you turn on your camera?
Round turn. There.
You did it. Yay.
Did it. Yay.
Yay, Vicky. All right. What do we have?
I'm struggling right now.
How do you spell your name, Vicky?
V-I-C-K-Y.
Okay, so we all know who we're talking to. I changed your name. All right, go ahead.
So for about 5 years, it's been kind of a shit show. I had my husband has had a mesenteric blood clot. My brother, 6 months later, had a aortic dissection and died. My sister got terribly burnt 5 months after my brother died. Her husband had a stroke that rendered him in a wheelchair, and he has progressive supranuclear palsy, which is a Parkinsonism. It's a very slow decline. She was sent home with me to scrub her burns and get her down for all the graft. My dad passed away. We've been taking care. He was 96. He passed away in April. My mom just got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Her time, it's metastasized. Her time will be very short. She just turned 90 in October. I feel like dad is being left behind because we can't, you know, this is our first holiday time now without him, but we're so consumed with mom's diagnosis. We just got her moved in July to assisted living and she loves it. Mm-hmm. Dad was not a social person. We were able to keep him at home until he passed away, which was his greatest wish, that he not have to go to a nursing home. And so I'm just kind of, so during the course of that time and closer to my dad's passing, I had gained 41 pounds back.
Okay.
And I then was down to where I just had 11 more to lose.
Okay.
And I'm kind of right in there now, but I am not wanting to think about my mom's issues. I'm not wanting to think about what I'm going to have to witness or see in caregiving for her. I don't want to, I'm scared of what may be coming. I don't want to, I just, it's a distract. It's a distract, distract. Okay.
So what do you know is coming? We're going to get clear on what is coming for your mom. What do you know is
coming? She's going to die.
She's going to die. And what is that going to require of you?
When things probably get tough, we will either be staying and spending time in her little teeny tiny apartment.
Yeah.
Or she'll have to move, you know, in with one of probably me.
Okay.
And my husband, we're in an apartment in the process of going to move next year. But,
okay.
You know, she's, her hemoglobin is down. I don't know. Right. It's.
So at some point, you're going to have to care for her either at her place or at your place.
They'll keep her there even on hospice unless she starts having more serious bleeding or issues, you know.
Okay. So what's going to happen when it gets to that point where you need to take care of her?
Well, we're just going to have to do whatever it is we have to do. But it's the lead up to, I'm a planner. It's like,
well, we can make a plan. At some point, I'm either going to have to take care of her there or at my house. That's right. The point. We already have a plan.
But it's the time between now and then that's driving me nuts because I don't know every single day what's coming. And I'm trying to look at each
day. Do you ever know that?
No, we don't. You're right. Mm-mm. We don't.
Nope.
My husband's dad was given 3 to 6 months, got two with treatment. Our pastor was given 3 to 6 months, got four with surgery and treatment. My mom is doing nothing because she's 90 and she doesn't want invasive procedures and I don't blame her.
Yeah. So you were able to take care of your father or help take care of your father, take care of your sister. And during that time, like in the meantime, since your dad passed, you've been able to lose weight and you still didn't know from one day to the next what was coming.
No. And we didn't see this coming at all. I mean, even the doctor,
just
said,
like you probably didn't see your sister getting burned.
No, I didn't.
That was not on your bingo card.
Nope.
Your dad getting sick was not on your bingo card.
I had to go out and get her out of the shower because her husband, my husband, had to stay with her husband because, you know, you couldn't, yeah. He's wheelchair bound. That's it.
Yeah.
But how do I not distract with the food? What I, you know, if I have downtime or if I've been there and I come home.
But what are you distracting? What feeling are you avoiding? What do you not want to feel when you're, what are you distracting yourself from?
I don't want to feel fear. I don't want to think about, is it going to be, you know, 2-3 weeks? Is it going to be, we're a month in? Is it going to be another month? Is it going to hit the 2 month mark, the 6 month mark? You know, I don't want to think about those things. And I'm not even sure for sure why I am, because each day truly is time that we're given.
There, that's the first conversation. So when you hear that, what's coming next week, blah, blah, blah. I've never known what was coming tomorrow. The truth is, every day is a gift we've been given with her. That's the first conversation, right?
Right.
That you can practice. You already have that one. Spend some time there.
I've got to redirect that. And then I got COVID, so then I haven't been able to be around her. And tomorrow I'm going to go fix her hair and stuff and spend some time with her. But I guess it's numbing out with the way that I've always distracted.
Yeah. But the truth is, even with, you're still eating.
Yeah.
How much are you still thinking about it though?
When I'm eating, not, but afterwards, and I feel doubly crappy.
Yeah. It comes right back. Right. If eating was the solve for worrying about your mom and what's coming next, then it would be true that you would just eat and then never think about it again.
Yeah.
So it's not really solving it, right?
It's not. And
it would be amazing if, like, you were like, okay, I'm going to eat this pan of brownies and then I will never think about it again. Hell, I'd probably help you eat them.
Yeah.
If it would just go away and never come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
All you're doing in the moment is delaying it.
Yep.
When you already have an amazing thought. I have somehow managed to take care of all these sick people in my life, give them amazing end of life experiences, if you will. I've been able to care for my sister, and I never at one time knew what was coming next.
And there is some fear around who's next. How many of us have to disappear before we get a breather? You know, my brother-in-law probably isn't too far behind on some of this, but it's like my aunt died a week, not even a week before my dad. My other aunt died 3 weeks after my dad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, okay, how many of us have to disappear before this train kind of stops or changes tracks?
Who knows? A minute.
I know you don't. And I worry that, you know, is it going to be me?
Well, if it is, then what?
I can't change it. I don't know. You can't change it.
Yep.
You know?
All you do is what is best for you. But the truth of it is, like, I love the statement, who better than me? Like, if you dumped all that on my lap, like today, I would probably curl up in a ball. The truth is, you had it handed to you over a period of time. You adapted, you adjusted, you figured it out, and that became your superpower, is to take care of these folks.
Well, my dad always said, when my 9-year-old niece died of cancer 30 some years ago, you can't quit and nobody will fire you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really,
yeah,
you can lay down, but you can't. I mean, you're still not quitting. You're just making a choice. I mean, everything is a choice. And I take myself wherever I go. So that brain goes with me.
Yeah. It's a pretty amazing brain though, because you're able to problem solve, get people help they need, figure out what they need, get them where they need to be, and take care of people.
Yeah. Now, if I can just, I quit chewing my fingernails 45 years ago. I quit smoking cigarettes 30 some years ago. If I could just get the, you know, and It's because I never gave up, but I've got to stop with this distracting. This cannot be my go-to. My emotional solve cannot always be food, because it isn't, it doesn't work for starters. That's why you do it over and over.
But it's that thought that I gave you a minute ago. It's just going to come back in double portion. If eating helped, I would be able to eat and never think about it again. I know exactly what to do. Every time something has been presented to me, I figured it out. I never know what tomorrow was going to hold, and I don't know it now. But by God, I'm the one to figure it out.
Yeah. That's the truth, because I got two sisters, and it seems like they're always come to me too for
You're help the person. And,
yeah.
Because you know how to do it. No matter what happens, you know how to do it.
I guess you're right. And I power through and get her figured out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why, I mean, you're so good at it. That's why they keep giving it to you.
Yeah. I want to catch my breath. But I need to do that without eating.
Yeah. But I mean, your body just stopped you for a few days. You've been able to sit. Not how you wanted to. COVID did it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and that's, I guess I could look at that as a gift instead of another, oh my Lord.
Yeah.
You know,
that's gave what I me think time. About this cold was like the Lord saying, rest.
Yeah. Yeah, I, yeah. You're right.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. I mean, this time with your mom is such a gift every day.
It is. I mean, it was, I think you could have knocked us all over with a feather. I mean, even the doctor was like, she looks so good. You know, had no clue.
Yeah, but you're the right person.
All right.
You got this.
I can't quit and nobody's going to fire me.
I know. My grandmother used to say I'd cry if it'd help.
Yeah. Well, and Mark
always... I'd cry if it had helped.
My husband's aunt, anytime something we didn't think it was quite up to par, she'd say, well, it's better than a poke in the eye with a stick.
I love that.
And it's it like, is. Yep, sure. It is.
All right. So, good luck to you, Vicky. I hope you are all on the mend and feel better.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, y'all. I've gone over. Shocker. In 45 minutes, I will be doing a getting into action 30-day success plan live. Come and join me if you would like, especially if you're here in the first 30 days. I would love to hang out with you a little bit. Watch your emails this week, especially the information really is going to come out on Friday about how to give your referral link to your friends and family so that they can come to the workshop, get 30 days of no BS, and then you get 30 days. It's a win. Everybody gets 30 days. Girl, it's awesome. All right, y'all. Have a great Sunday, and get your sleep, get your water. Make your plan if you haven't already. All right, y'all. Bye-bye.